Hi, fellas, here at 92.3 FM. And look, we're just privileged to be at the Far North Queensland Aviation Museum. And we have David and Joan here. And we've also got our station manager, Ben. And we're just going to have a little bit of a chat about the real facts of this aviation museum. David has been in the Air Force, and Joan is the research and genealogist person here. So she's got a big job to do, that lady. But we just wanted to say thank you first for that beautiful certificate that you gave us. We really do appreciate that. And you went to so much trouble to find us. We really do thank you for that. So, Joan, would you like to tell us a little bit of your job?
Well, at the moment I'm transcribing the control room log, where the officers enter the flight details, the time they took off and the time they landed and what their mission was, and the pilot. It's been a pretty heavy job. The handwriting is appalling, and it's been written in a dip pen, not a fountain pen, and it's been rather difficult, and a blunt pencil at times, but it's been very enjoyable. I've learnt a lot from it. It's been really good. There's 399 pages to transcribe. It's taken me about 4 months to do that, but it's finished now, and that's good. So now I start on doing the history of the pilots. I'm finding out where they were born, and their parents, and all their details, the honours they received during service, and that is a very interesting, very absorbing thing to do.
You love history?
Yes, I do. Yes, yes.
You've got the perfect person for a volunteer then.
This place has brought together two of my interests, aviation and history. So it's been really, really good, really interesting. Lovely people here who volunteer their time, and it's really good.
And it's really nice when you're in with a good group of volunteers.
Yes, they're lovely.
Thank you, Joan.
Oh, you're welcome.
David, the Aviation Museum, can you just tell us a little bit of the background of it and why it was started?
Okay, Brendan's the driver of all of this. His family lives locally. He's a pilot with Jetstar. He was inspired to collect Far North Queensland aviation history. Not only the World War II stuff that that resulted in the building of the aerodrome, but aviation in general. Mareeba's been a fairly busy airport. It looks very innocuous, but it's a fairly important hub up here. North Queensland Aero Club moved out of Cairns and set up shop up here because of the airspace. You know, it was very difficult to try and teach people to fly in controlled airspace at a very busy airport. So they've moved lock, stock and barrel up here. There's several maintenance organisations. There's MAF have just spent probably close to $5 million on these two hangars over the road. One's a maintenance facility, the other one's a paint shop. Yeah, the Mareeba Shire Council has invested a lot of money in developing this end of the airport, and largely due to the efforts of Tom Gilmore, former mayor, who features in our history video. Just about every week it seems we come out here and there's another hangar going up, and a lot of people have moved out of Cairns and house their aeroplanes up here now. It's an all-weather strip, basically. It's got instrument approaches, RNAV, that I used to design in a previous life. And, it's becoming a very lively little hub.
It is very necessary, because if anything happens down there on the coast, we're going to need somewhere to land planes and that.
Absolutely. Cairns Airport is renowned for being almost underwater. It's built on a swamp. When Tom McDonald landed the first aircraft up there many, many years ago, it was actually a salt pan. The airport has developed from there. And, of course, with the proximity of the range to the coastline, there's very little space for an airport down there. And, you know, it's only a very narrow coastal strip. It's not until you get down sort of around Edmonton way, where all the cane farms are, that you get a reasonable area to put multiple runways in. And, of course, that ground's fairly soggy down there as well.
So The Aviation Museum, I was very excited when I saw all the plans for the new building, yes, and I got on your website and I thought, wow, I wonder when that's going to be built. So can you just tell us a little bit about what happened there, David, and the support that you need for this to go ahead?
Okay, Brendan will correct me if I say anything out of line here. We had a bid in for the Building Better Regions Fund for about $2.5 million, I think, Brendan was. We had the bid in. I think it cost us a bit north of $6,000. With the recent change of federal government, the Building Better Regions Fund was canned. They're putting another fund in. We're not quite sure of the outline of that as yet.
So now, with this support that you need to go further, What do you actually require, and what? How can people help you?
Well, hangers don't go up for nothing.
No, that's right.
That we're acutely aware of. We do have funding at the moment to build a 15-metre square hangar at the end of the strip here, and that will essentially be our first display hangar. This what you're looking at here is the restoration area, which is essentially a workshop. It's not really a display as such. Our major display at the moment is the C-47, former Air Force aircraft, that was in the Sid Beck collection until we acquired it 2 years ago. At the moment, we've got the stairs built. They're almost ready to go. That's to give safe public access into the aircraft, because I'm not really happy about people trying to climb up those aircrew stairs at the moment. Once we get that cleared, there's a whole lot of control surfaces needed we've got to find storage for. Once we get that, that's a primary display. We'll put the Wirraway fuselage and the engines in the new hangar down the road. We'll just maintain this as a workshop.
That's lovely. Can you tell us, you were sharing a story before about Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us about Charlie? Because, you know, your volunteers is what keeps it going.
That's right.
So you can just share it.
Yeah.
I think
Charlie featured in our recent video about the 80th anniversary of the airport, and he was a schoolboy during World War II, and tells us stories about how he and his, I think his brother, used to ride their pushbikes across the runway. And there'd be a B-17 rolling for takeoff, and these two kids would be riding across the runway, and they were politely asked to find another way to go to school. Charlie's been around the aviation scene up here for a long time. He was the one, when we got the gantry crane donated to us, it arrived in pieces. It's all sectioned, just bolted together. Charlie just turned up one day, loaded all the bits in the back of his ute, took it home to his sandblasting unit, and sandblasted and painted it and brought it all back. And he pops in every now and then to see, you know, how much we've done to it. So we finally got it back on its feet, almost.
Yeah, because you're going to need those sort of things to to refurbish everything.
Yeah. Well, it's primarily a display, because that's exactly what they used to use to change propellers and engines on aircraft up here.
Yeah.
It's also useful if we do have something heavy to lift and we can get it in there. It's a tool.
Absolutely.
Basically.
Talking about what we need, infrastructure is our biggest hurdle. And we've already run out of space with our current facility here, so we've got quite a few artifacts and aircraft that we're hoping to acquire.
Yeah.
But we can't take on any more items until we get the space for it, somewhere that's secure. So we see getting the infrastructure through grants key to us expanding. And we're just going to keep plugging away. We've got a master plan done up and everything costed out. And we'll keep revising that and keeping it all up to date so that when grant applications come due, we can be ready to apply for those.
So if you wanted to become a volunteer with the Aviation Museum, do you have to have skills, or will you train us up?
No, we can train anyone up that's happy to learn. Yes. And we've had quite a few people involved with no previous aviation experience or specific skills for the jobs that we've had out for them. One particular volunteer that stands out is Leo, and he's a Chinese young fella who was just shy of 35 years old, and his trade's a simulator builder up in China, and he moved here for his family's health reasons with all the smog in China. And so Leo came to us as a volunteer, having never driven a lawnmower. Got to experience that here. We had various painting jobs, and he painted the inside of one of our display containers, various other jobs. So, and he was a fantastic volunteer. Just a bit of guidance. He was great at some of the tasks that he was given. So quite, pleasing to see the growth that people are doing, and yet helping us grow too.
Yes.
Leo helped out with the C-47. The overhead instrument panels were in very, very poor shape. They were cracked and broken, and you're just not a display standard at all. And Leo, with his contacts in the simulator industry, recreated the overhead switch panels from left to right, basically. So three separate switch panels, and did a fantastic job on it. And he's reinstalled those back in the aircraft now. He did that a little while ago. And I'm still trying to rebuild the main instrument panel, but that's a labour of love and longevity, unfortunately.
But it keeps you out of mischief.
Yeah, I don't have any time or money for mischief nowadays.
That's really good, David. Now, Ben, can you tell us where you can see that really great video?
Just like to start by thanking the Aviation Museum for this certificate of appreciation that you guys gave us. Appreciate your thought there. Go to YouTube under Aviation Museum's YouTube channel. You can look up Mareeba Airport's 80th anniversary short film from 1942 to 2022, and it's a great 8-minute little film that you guys have put together. Any highlights from that?
I think all the stories that came out, I mean, there were quite a few different aspects of the airport and people from, you know, over the duration of the airport, and it's 80 years of operation. Yeah, it was just great to let people tell their story and their experience and involvement at that time. So it's great to that we've been able to record that important aspect of, recording our history and letting people know about who we are.
Well, I think it's very important that people know the history, because if you don't have your history, you've got no heritage. Mm-hmm. You don't know where you belong. You don't know why you're here and where you're going, you know, what you're looking forward to. And I think that these sort of things are just absolutely wonderful to actually, like, young people really need to understand why they can live in a nation like this.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. We had about 12 months ago, when we had the aviation trainees up from the college in Cairns, and they were coming up on the weekends, and they did a heck of a lot of work to clean the Dakota up. It was covered in mould, and the tail end had been sitting under a macadamia tree for 20-odd years, and they were up on the fuselage with the pressure washer and took a, you know, youth and enthusiasm, you know, makes a big difference, doesn't it? And yeah, we're very grateful for them. They obviously don't come up as much now, because they've all moved on to careers, basically. One of our regulars is now working helicopter aviation in Townsville. He comes up occasionally, but he's a pretty busy boy. So, but when he does come up, you know, there's always something for him to do, and that's the sort of spirit of things that we like.
And that's what it's all about. It's just like belonging a little bit to a family, isn't it?
It is.
Your volunteer family is very, it's very precious.
It is. Yeah. It is. We've got a broad church, basically, really, haven't we? We've got Mark, who's a semi-retired first-class machinist. He also volunteers at the Atherton Herberton Historic Railway. So through Mark, we've got access to their machine shop, which is very beneficial because mine isn't set up yet. And, you know, Alan comes up. Alan's taken over looking after the library in there, and he's got a background in finance and administration, I think. But he's just taken to that. He puts all the shelves together, catalogues all the books, does all that sort of thing. So there's, you know, it's not just the nuts and bolts that are out here. There's a lot of other peripheral things that go on in a museum.
Absolutely, yes.
Paul, our secretary, used to work at a museum in Christchurch, and he's all over the details like accession register and, you know, those museum-y sort of things that, you know, need to be done. So there's anybody donates an item to it, it's all registered as per, you know, the AWM does, I guess, in round terms.
And that's what it's all about, because it's really taking what you've been trained up in and extending it a little bit to your community and just giving back to your community what they've given back to you. So
that's right.
I think it's just wonderful.
Community support's very important. Yeah, we're a complete open house here. All the locals are more than welcome to come out. Yeah, bring your kids out for a look-see around as well. It's a big part of us is helping to inspire our young. Yeah, and also, you know, hopefully some will want to get a little bit more involved and volunteer, you know, whether that's only an hour or a month or, you know, a couple of days a week. So we'll be looking to expand our open days from just the Thursday and Saturday mornings to extended to the whole days or more as demand increases. But yeah, just encourage everyone to keep their eyes and ears open for things that might be of benefit. We get really disappointed when we see stuff get thrown out or dumped when we could turn it into a fantastic display for people to come through and have a look and learn about our local history.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stories out there. So, look, thank you so much for all of this today. We really do appreciate it. We will look forward to more information whenever you have your days that you're going to have.
We'd like to thank all our volunteers and local businesses that have supported us. We'll be closed from Christmas through till the new year. Our Thursday and Saturday morning open days will recommence in January, and we look forward to welcoming you back out in the new year. Yeah, so if anyone wants to look us up, we're on the internet, www.fnqam.com.au. We're also on Facebook. You can just search us, FNQ Aviation Museum, and otherwise you can just drop in anytime on a Thursday or Saturday morning. Our current open hours at the restoration area. Anyone can come out at any time. You'll still be able to see the C-47 Dakota on display, and down at the east end of the airport we've got a little history display set up in the terminal with some information, and we've got three murals that some local artists have painted. They're fantastic to check out.
So how often is that other one open?
They're open 24/7 at the East End, the murals and the airport history, and there's a little barbecue and picnic area there that anyone's more than welcome to come out and utilise. It's looked after by the council.